Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm about to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Man. I just don't know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would.
Hands up, eyes open to fifth place. Say, let me get some of this shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say codes of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Like that's the party club that is. I would never violate the codes of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. Because sad to say that we never had this shit rolls, well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, or two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us, they're gonna have to kill us. Close up in the casket, read a quick verse, and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been punk, I'll never let it slide, never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever, no. Get on my level, hoe, or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect in pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitating. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I just ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, press with nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, that wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never crossed my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This thing gon' never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the same, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
bust on. Others leave them frying in the griddle in the middle like Moni. You phony cause your style's below me, but I rock with no filler. Ain't a girl in Seattle putting rappers on ice and lock the bodies in the chiller. The way I bust it up, I up Chuck Nasty style like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I feel you deep beneath the surface. It's the rays from Paige, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, I alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style short but cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll over that chicken shit you're clucking. You're stuck in, stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard I'm knocking out your toothus. A teacher, believe this shit, but head just get played out like Beavis. I'm the dopest, lyrically the locust. What? It's so copacetic. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Flows one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent. Hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking out snot. Cause I slam like collision from your vision to me. And you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it. Moby, running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, yeah. Rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slamming through the rage, you're in the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away, cut down, mowed away, curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC Cold Killer. When I cock back, you better drop that. Yo, hop back, I rocked at the dawn.
Importance of politicizing the gun. If you
be the ideological sons and daughters of the black cats. And we the ones that brought the days of the dark shades and alphas back. And we ain't got no problem with you praising the Lord if you wouldn't have bring the spirit of Nat back. Who we be? We be the ones with rest records longer than the average cat's rap records. By no means, this ain't no intentional shit. In fact, it's one of the signs of us being under attack. Therefore, these statistics are plainly mainly due to the state's attack. See, we the ones that don't get due credit until the state say it's safe to say it. In other words, a lot of y'all will show us some love after we long gone in the grave. But for now, many see it correct politically to only have the ability to speak in secrecy about the moves we make. Who we be? We recognize the essential potential of armed propaganda. And we done raised the bar of what it is to be a diehard. In this game, we done the thing of what it is from a cat considering himself a criminal to a convict or a prisoner of conscience. Who we be? You see, we done enlisted men and women in the people's army. And our kinfolk fall from the trees, the leaves, the lights of those of Cham and Fred and France and all. Sprout from the seeds of UEP, not long, but the one that sent the sentiments to the Viet Cong. It was on the right side of the question of the U.S. aggression against the Vietnam. Man, we far surpassed the grass and then got up under the gutter. In fact, some cats say that we consider ourselves weeds. Yeah, that's us. Who we be? Man, we so financially fucked up that our motto goes that the POCC is in debt, but not dead. We broke, but not broke. Where we come from? Where we at? What's our membership? Well, we be the residue from the slave ships, and the rest of the flesh the sharks are too full to eat after we was thrown overboard. In fact, some of us still at the back of the bus. See, we the ones fighting to be free, but in the meantime, between time, looking forward to prison visits. And when we talk, you best believe that they listening. We come from college campuses and street corners. We do more for 10 a.m. than your elected officials or the Marines do in 1,000 mornings. We keeping our eyes on the prize, and we also recognize in this time and place, one can never negate the question of race. But in the same breath, we also know that on this here slave ship, all black folks ain't in the same position. But we'll be remiss if we negate to mention that we still got to deal with this here class contradiction. We see theory without practice as blind, and practice without theory as a chance you might just came up and got lucky that time. POCC, what's our call? Free them all.
Live and direct, Brother Chairman.
Can we let me know we live and in also?
We're on live and direct, Brother Chairman.
Live and direct, y'all. Yeah. I hope we opened up with the audio clip. Do we play that check? The sister, 6-year-old child. I back up saying sister because I know that's when we hear that. We hear brother and sister, we automatically draw a foregone conclusion that we're talking about some adults. So that's why we're going to reframe that. Say the child. Did we play that clip yet?
We haven't played it yet, Chair.
Let me, if I can't play this clip from a 6-year-old child in Orlando, Florida. Can't recall the child's name. She was locked up. And this is the actual audio from Orlando, Florida. This occurred some time back, but this was some attention being brought to it. We got the one of the Negro police was terminated, was fired, but it was not just him. Again, I think it was the scapegoats. Scapegoats and say the bad police theory. You know, say one individual. This is a protocol police terrorism that we are subjected to that even a lot of us cannot really relate in this correct legal context of terrorism. But from the mouth of babes, this is a 6-year-old child in school. And me and Sister Conrad was rapping earlier, just even her assessment of this, when the police came in with the handcuffs, I mean, she literally said, what is that for? You know what I'm saying? Better yet, no further ado. Can we play that clip of Orlando, Florida?
The desert goes.
Okay, she's going to have to come with us now.
Okay, Kai. You have to go with them, baby girl.
Stand up. Okay, come over here.
What are those for?
It's for you.
Keep your hands, okay? Come over here, honey. It's not gonna hurt.
say
no, I want handcuffs on. No. Don't put handcuffs on. Help me.
Let's go.
Your grandma's gonna come pick you up, okay?
Oh, I was scared. Oh, I just got you.
Right.
Oh.
Come on, let's go.
No, please let me go.
Okay, come on. Please. You can tell me what happened on the car, okay?
Going on this upcoming week.
Friday, February 28th, 2020, Winsdorf Park Church. That's 2619 East 76th Street, 76th of Saginaw. Our black women and girls are missing. Empress Soleil be in town addressing that. National Women's, Women's March. Also this Sunday at the Hampton House, 804 South 17th Avenue. We Charge Genocide will be convening there from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. For information regards that, you contact 267-636-3802, 267-636-3802, again, that's Friday. And I think it was on Saturday, too, but I know Sunday. Sunday at the Hampton House. Friday, I'll get the address again before we conclude. So that's also, might be having Brother Joseph Chopin online with us next week. He had an event last night at the Harold Washington Library. God's trying to raise a resource and tips about bringing a movie in regards to Harold Washington. Harold Washington, first black man in Chicago. Many of us position is that he was assassinated some days are different, but that we don't put this, you know, encourage that dialogue about that. How you view that tells a lot about your political stand. You know, say how you view death, assassination, so on and so forth. We live and direct y'all to Free Mall Radio, Intellectual Radio. Y'all feel free to call in now, 297-777-3785. Also, 708 number. It comes to me in 1 minute. We on the countdown. We're going to get a clock out of here at 725. That's give me oh, also in Atlanta, I'm looking for a call of a little brother King. He's 10 years old. I'll be listening. Y'all call in now, 297-777-3785, press 1. This is on the phone, our flyer today. This is a 10-year-old child who I'm honored and humbled. My brother, salute. Salute, my brother. Yes, sir. I got to shout out brother, man, Tori Muhammad. Just touched up in the building right on. Love, respect to you, my brother. Yes, sir. Man. And y'all was shining this weekend, man. Y'all, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was honored, this brother called his parents. Corey and Keisha, a Black History program was up there, and they said, with all due respect, no disrespect to the dead, but they would like for their son to be Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. for Black History Month. And again, I'm honored and humbled, and he did a powerful, you know, interview with me, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully he could look for him to call in again, you know what I'm saying? Again, from the mouths of babes. And I mean, these children are very intelligent. I spoke today at a reentry program, and there's a lot of brothers and sisters that, you know, going through some issues, been through some issues, and his face from Ghetto Boy said, life is like you're in a storm, you're going through a storm, and just came out of a storm. And it was really something to talk, you know, to our people today. I was really encouraged, you know what I'm saying, the present-day struggles that they're going through. But a sister asked me a question about the youth in particular, and I said, don't underestimate them, you know what I'm saying, especially in this day and age of technology, information. We must relate to the fact was Stephen Biko of the Black Conscious Movement said that black people in particular must grasp the ability to distinguish intelligence from the ability to articulate. So don't miss these cats, you know, send these youngsters in particular. Again, real talk, y'all. I'm going to give a revolutionary roll call to all y'all who tuning in. Let me see Jeff Ball tune in. Let me know if you call in or hit me on Facebook. Somebody hit Jeff Ball on Facebook. Tell me we both did this on Zoom, but y'all get a bed with the chairman. No, excuse me. Y'all get a cub with the chairman. A lot of these things, I'm up and down on this technology. I was telling my brother earlier, but we gonna do this for this. Sometimes I might get a reservation for two cans in the stream. You know what I'm saying? But as Minister UEP Newton said, we have to technological advances. We have to be related to them. So I'm gonna give you some youngsters really on the team to help me up the ante with this here, because we gotta be, you know, we gotta keep up with it. We can't get caught with no time warp. You know what I'm saying? No. They're stagnated. With that being said, yes, it'd be good for when the pigs use zip ties on her and teach her. And the child asked that she had to do that, and the teacher or the staff member said you have to go with them. And again, this is the audio again. I have a lot to know before we conclude at 7:25. They'll bring it back up. I don't know. We got the brother from 707 number should be calling in. I want to get them in. I want to get my brother Jared Ball in also. So a lot of times we hear about, and we just get our economics straight. You know, that's going to be the panacea that's going to solve all issues in our community. And I've been asked on a number of different occasions, what is it, you know, in the crime in Chicago, the murder, is it jobs, you know? And definitely we relate to, you know, cats need resources. You know, see, I mean, you got to eat, cats got to eat, and they need heat. That's a reality. However, do we minimize the contradictions in our community and romanticize the dynamic of our resources? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a lot of times we can't distinguish money from power. Again, money from power. And so we want to talk about that. You know what I'm saying? We want to also, Jerry Ball, is this the way I can tap you? How does this work? I can like tap you in, or somebody help me? I can bring you like face to face on the Facebook Live with me, or you, how we going to do this? So I'm gonna give a revolutionary roll call. We got some phenomenal forces, good energy in the building, y'all. So Jerry Ball, I'm gonna bring you online on the phone, and if you can, I think it's where you can. Do I press this and you? I can bring your face online. Y'all do some research on this brother. I had the opportunity to touch down this brother some years back, and you know, so he didn't get down. You know what I'm saying? A lot of value information out there. As the Black Panther Party said, information is raw material for new ideas. With that being said, let's see what time. And let me know. Are you in, my brother?
Free of Mark, Brother Chairman. Yeah, Brother Ball is in now. Free of Mark.
He's in. Free of Mark, right on. Welcome to Free of Mark Radio. Welcome to Intellectual Radio. We got Jerry Ball here. Man, welcome, my brother.
Man, it's an honor. Thank you very much. And peace to you and all your audience.
Yes, sir. If I'm correct, we kind of like working in tandem. Like are you recording for your program also?
Well, no, not exactly. So what I thought, because I wasn't sure how this was going to work. So what I was hoping we could do is have this mutual conversation, and then I will take what is on your Facebook and reproduce it on our website and reproduce it and distribute it that way as well.
Sound like a plan. Let's get straight into it. First of all, if you can't give us a bio for those who may not be familiar with you and the work that you've been doing for quite some time. Give us a little background, what you've been doing, what's going on, what you plan to do, and you know what I'm saying, what's this present day conversation that you're pushing forth to happen.
Well, again, I appreciate it. Long story short, again, my name is Jared Ball. I'm a father and a husband, and professionally I'm a professor of communication studies at Morgan State University in Baltimore, and I've been involved in all forms of grassroots political organization, and mostly in the D.C. area for probably, I don't know, about 15, 20, 20, maybe a little over 20 years in some form or fashion. And I've done a lot of work in support of political prisoners, which is how I've come to cross paths with you on a number of occasions over the years. And I try to practice what has been coined as a philosophy as emancipatory journalism, which is just the idea that people involved in grassroots anti-colonial struggles produce their own media as journalists as part of their own organizations. With principle and honesty, but for the purpose of expanding the work and increasing their numbers. So, in a nutshell, that's what I do.
Right on. Again, we honored and are humbled to have you on here with us. I said earlier, you know, and actually, you know, a lot of times when I show people say, well, what does this have to do with this? Another, you know, what does the case of a 6-year-old child being handcuffed have to do with the question of economics and how do you connect this with this? The 10-year-old child, the brother in Atlanta, you know, talking about the importance of Black history connected to what's going on right now today. And sometimes it may sound cliche, but our position is that everything is political. And a lot of times, you know, we're given these quick fixes. That okay, well, if you just do this, if you just get an education, you'll be all right. If you just simply vote, we'll be all right. And ironically, we are in the time right now where these type of responses are popular. And you know, if you can, this what you're talking about right now in particular, it may rub some the wrong way, especially like, you know, like people talking about tax times, you know what I'm saying? Even how people view resources, like, and, you know, well, this is what, you know, they make jokes about it, but it's sometimes they crack them, but they kind of fact it. They talk about even how relationships are better during tax season, so on and so forth. What's your, okay, the position about, and what has been given to us, you know, about the history, you know what I'm saying, like different periods of history, like when you see these different documentaries about our people in the past, they say, you know, we it was going great for us because, you know, we had, you know, certain economic successes. Was in many cases when individuals were, you know what I'm saying, had access to resources. What's your take on that? What's the pros and cons about, you know, so how we view money, how we view economics, financial literacy, and, you know what I'm saying, and the connection to, in regards to 6-year-old children being handcuffed, the mass kidnapping of our people, the gentrification, the land grab. How, you know what I'm saying? And how do we explain this? Like, well, people losing their homes is because they were not financially literate. How do we explain the 6-year-old children, you know what I'm saying, being handcuffed and kidnapped, locked up? What's your take on that, my brother?
Well, the short answer for me is that I've operated for a long time, borrowing from the work that you've been involved in, obviously the work that your father was involved in and your mother still is involved, you know, the folks that you were brought up under directly, indirectly in your cadre, et cetera. What I've learned from all of them and from some others is essentially that to put one way, is that we are a colonized population, and that this creates a relationship, and the form of that relationship may change, but the substance of it does not. So whether we're talking about in the so-called post-enslavement moment, and I know you've done a lot of work on being critical of people considering this a post-freedom or post-enslavement or post-colonial moment, but particularly when we look at mass incarceration, what's happening in the cases that you're talking about tonight. But what it points to is that it is a fundamental relationship of colonialism, where you have an exploitive and hostile relationship that involves, of course, white supremacy and capitalism as two of the primary mechanisms of extraction and exploitation. So whether you're talking about those cases or whether I'm shamelessly plugging my forthcoming book, The Myth and Propaganda of Black Buying Power, the relationship is ultimately the same. So when you're talking about how do these things play out economically and in terms of popular conversation, a lot of what we're dealing with is the most sophisticated and highly developed system of propaganda that the world has ever seen developed in this country post-World War II as a primary mechanism of manipulating people through public opinion and redirecting the energies of direct conflict through armed conflict and war to indirect conflict through commercialism, marketing, public relations, or propaganda. So essentially, what was done after the Second World War is a reframing of the mechanism of producing goods for war into producing goods for commercialism. And the way that those old relationships of enslavement and colonialism played out for African people, for black people in this country and others, but primarily here for black people, is that the relationship went from a direct enslavement to a promotion of a concept of freedom, but in reality was a rebranding of a new form of that old relationship. So what was done is, and the real part, and we can talk about this maybe another time or later on, but the real problem that I've investigated with this book is the complicity of a black commercial press class in promoting a concept of buying power so that they could get some of the white corporate ad dollars that were being spent on media to promote white corporate goods. And then the concept of buying power was rebranded to fit that function. But in reality, the material condition of black people has only worsened ever since there was some sort of uptick in that post-World War II moment. So long story short, what I'm trying to just fold together very quickly here is that when you're talking about children being handcuffed, mass incarceration, or you're talking about what people think is the economic condition of a community, all of it is couched in a context of a hostility, whether we call it colonialism or neo-enslavement or whatever. But it's a relationship of hostility and extraction and exploitation that needs a kind of rebranding so that people have a difficulty in identifying it and organizing it out of existence, and that it makes it more difficult for us to pinpoint strategies and develop tactics and organization that we need to really overturn these relationships. So I hope I've done some justice to the question, but that's essentially what I'm trying to do with this work, and what I see is these connections between the stories you started with and some of the work that I've been doing most recently.
Right on. No, you definitely done justice, Professor. I want you to also I definitely would like for you to plug the book, Dennis, you know what I'm saying, before we, you know, I know once we get caught up. Since the Comrade Daphne at 720, I need you to give me a heads up, and we got a 707 number from that youth from Atlanta calling in over the last 5 minutes. Make sure you bring them in. But your assessment of, like, you know, the rebranding and how the systems take, they recognize the power of euphemisms. And I think Frederick Douglass even talking about, you know, the peculiar institutions. They would, you know, when we're talking about, you know, slavery, chattel slavery, sharecropping, growing prison industrial complex, so on and so forth. And just the Machiavellian tactics, that U.S. imperialism in particular, how it, you know, works that number. I mean, just even how, you know, the chasing, chasing the carrot, you know, and many other places abroad, you know, so we come out to exploitation, you know, saying in Ghana with the cocoa and, you know, like Hershey chocolate, you know, how they reap the benefits. Or the Thailand has been brought up, it's been brought to many people's attention, the Nike gym shoes, and they call it the sweatshop labor, and how the U.S. is able to, you know, call these contradictions out. And in contrast, and people say, well, America, you know, and they're not even about those who are colonized right here in the States, whether it be the prison contradiction, whether it be the economic contradiction, it's even amongst those who are colonized, in particular those who colonized, you know, that are not clear on it. It's a braggadocio, like, even how we deal with resources and not putting stuff in context, like, whether you're talking about, you know, Michael Jordan on the basketball court, but however, they even said that his money was really coming through advertising and other dynamics, but he was like lowest paid player in the NBA. And people don't think about the resources that Jerry Reinsdorf and the rest of these individuals who, you know, who couldn't dribble a ball, even walk a court or halfway down a basketball court without falling down. But this exploitative relationship, you know what I'm saying, in every dynamic, from the athletic field, entertainment, the drug game, the pushing the plantation poison, you know what I'm saying? You know, we look at a lot of quote-unquote success stories in the streets. And then, you know what I'm saying, but once you put it in context, you know, I mean, like, even how in long range of the game, when we get through, how the resources go right back. You know what I'm saying? Right back to whether it be via the lawyers, the commissary in the prisons, you know, some entertainers, you know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying, how we look at case after case. It's kind of like they loaning some people in our community some resources. We let you hold this for a minute. And at the end of the day, you know, Red Fox, James Brown, you know what I'm saying? And present day, like, rappers today, you know what I'm saying? And so just even the temporary holding, just to shine for a bit, but then how these resources go right back, you know what I'm saying, into other communities. And they can have them other conversations, such as generational wealth, so on and so forth.
Hey Fred, let me ask you something real quick, because I think you said you got something coming up, and if time is a little bit short, there was something I wanted to do. So, because I know we're trying to combine efforts. So, if you don't mind, let me ask.
Yes,
let me just say this for your audience. They can check out. They can, you know, just look me up or check out imixwhatilike.org. And the book is coming out in a couple of weeks, The Myth and Propaganda of Black Buying Power. It challenges buying black and banking black, and explains what buying power really is and how it was developed as a myth and how it's maintained. So that's cool, and I appreciate the chance to rap about that for a minute. But one thing that we also do at imixwhatilike.org and some of my crew's work is media criticism. And this is something that I definitely wanted to ask you about, given the fact that you've been working on this upcoming movie about your father. Now, and I've, you know, so I wanted to share with you something. You know, there are two people that we know in common that are, one of them certainly our sister comrade Rosa Clemente, who helped put us back together for this. Who I know has been around, and then my mentor at Morgan State, Dr. Ray Winbush, was somewhat in the mix in talking about the film, and I shared with both of them over the last few months a criticism that I had and a worry that I had, and my suggestion was that I have, you know, long story short, we can come back to this another time, but long story short, I've come to the conclusion that given the context of our media environment and the politics of it and the relationship that we were just talking about just a moment ago, I've come to the conclusion that we should not be looking for commercial media to give us the images and the symbols and the information and the inspiration that we need for radical movement. And I was concerned when I heard that the movie is, for instance, being told from the perspective of Eugene O'Neill and stuff like that. And I was concerned, and I was hoping for something more along the lines of a Netflix series. If it had to be somewhat commercial, I was hoping for something like a Netflix series where they could lay it out. And obviously, I don't like the new Netflix thing about Malcolm X, but with that kind of time given, so that the politics and ideas that your father worked with, that I think are most important, would be brought forth. And my concern was that in a movie like this, that those ideas are going to be suppressed beneath a more Hollywood-driven story. So given that you were involved with the film and you got to see some of the shooting, and I think on some level I hear you're involved with some of the editing, maybe tell me a little bit about where I've maybe gone wrong with this, or where you see this film doing something different than what we've seen other Hollywood, you know, or more commercial films do to some of our more popular figures and heroes.
Right on. First and foremost, your concerns are legitimate. Right on. And this has been two of the most recent, most difficult campaigns that I've had to grapple with is the campaign to save the Hampton House, and also this in regards to this decision in regards to the movie. There's been a number of different attempts brought to us, and way back in now, like I said before, our premise, I always to let people know in this, from what's I come, something that impacts me to this day. When I was about 12 years old, and a proposition was brought to us, when our heat was, one of the cold winters in which our heat was off. And there was a book in which kind of made one of the police like a hero built around him. This kind of coincides with your concern, what you mentioned about coming from the perspective of William O'Neill. That was a major remaining contradiction that we had. And my mother, back when I was 12, about 12 years old, and I remember her saying, it's a no-go. And when we fighting that, and I said, and I even asked her, I said, well, so if this was to happen, that means that the heat would be back on. She said, yes. Yeah. And her principal position, you know what I'm saying, and to this day, that stuck with me. We turned out a number of different dynamics. We had got word about this. This last project, the project in question right now, the project we're talking about now, it's actually untitled due to some struggles we had with one or two of the initial proposals they had for a title. And that, got worried about it, for those who may not be in the know, that was a concern. I said, wow, see, even this kind of tells of the climate, because I know this is a stage in the game where you talk about Tashaki 69, William O'Neill, the rats and the Agent Barker tools are held up, you know what I'm saying? And that's definitely a contradiction that we have. And I battle with it. It's like going fishing. I'm impacted from being on the set. I still jump up at nighttime, hollering, cut, cut, you know. And there was certainly it was one of the most. I told his sister one time, we was on the set in Cleveland. I came up and she seen it in me like the drink, you know. It was one of those brutal days, you know. So which we had some major struggles had occurred, and I had struggled to get to be in a position like even down to the, because initially a lot of times people say, okay, you can be you can have this input, so on and so forth. In their defense, a lot of times many people are dealing with for lack of like political groupies. You know what I'm saying? Just the like a lot of people that went to the position about Jay-Z, when Jay-Z had said what he said about, you know, he arrived the same day Fred Hampton died. A lot of people told the position was, Chairman, you should be happy that he mentioned your father's name, regardless how he mentioned it. And that's not the position we take. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We and that was overtures made to us then. You know, well, man, y'all come through, be a big, you know what I'm saying, a big coming together, so on and so forth. That legacy, we fight them, you know what I'm saying, to protect it. And you right, you going into it's a machinery. It's not that. It cannot be devalued to a question of that. It's a forces who I've gained respect for that were involved in this. Who we met up the, you know, so we had some sit downs and meetings and back and forth and no go. But however, I'm still cognizant and I'm becoming more and more cognizant of the machinery. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not that I tell you it's a I mean Hollywood, the history of Hollywood alone that right there alone should cause concern. So it's not that. So even down to the nuances of certain characters, how they move, and even characters in character. So these are different, the dynamics that we had to struggle with, and we, you know, saying we still, back to the analogy I mentioned earlier, I was explaining, I said, man, this one, I said, some days it's like, it's inspiring. It's been one of the most, in regards to even being able to say it, it's one of the most inspiring, draining, uplifting, draining. I said, at the same time, and her response, which is, Chairman, it's like you describing childbirth. I said, well, I dare not say I can relate to that. You know what I'm saying? However, I can be. I hear you on that. And with that analogy, let's hope that this baby is produced. You know what I'm saying? The best, and keep in mind, you know what I'm saying, for what, who, you know, what type of maternity war we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? So keep that in context. And so you, and with that being said, we still have our guards up for the editing, quote unquote, vaccination process with the baby. So all these different dynamics, we still got our guards up for. And also, there are certain things, certain dynamics that with the people, like, you know, say, I don't know if Reverend Nat Turner, like even with the church, that was his personal thing. But the deal is, where are the people at? How can we organize, get certain discussions to happen? And now, I tell you, if you ask many. I said, you ask some women, what would they do? And what would they do in regards to their children? For their children, you got to get a different answer. So moves, I studied this. I took it to our committee. And we struggled. You know what? How can we, you know, saying get this conversation rolling without, you know, saying compromising, you know, saying certain core, you know, saying the core of who Chairman Fred was, who he was, and also it's not going to be no cutoff date with that. Like you said, you brought another point out about the Netflix, and actually, ironically, that's what I was looking at before, and that's not out of the pitch either. With a movie thing, that you say, okay, well, you have a one hit, you're just going to be right there. So look for also the other dynamics to be coming forth also. I'm not going to let the cat out the bag, but it's going to be something in tandem where I can, you know what I'm saying, talk about even some of the contradictions. You know what I'm saying? So that's a part of the certain dynamics that are part are inclusive in regards to with the movie. There's a certain platform that we're going to have also. I look at this time similar in some senses during that opening, doing what they refer to the black exploitation of period, where of course, you got the usual coonish stuff come out. However, there were certain things were able to get in, certain conversations, like some even the Dolemite piece, where there was talking about the Daily Machine, so on and so forth. So, for this whole dynamic, this period of time right now, where there are certain discussions, like I haven't seen some of these movies. They talk about the photograph, where people talk about a black relationship. Certain things are happening. I think we can sit certain political pills in the applesauce, and so it's a battle. It's an ongoing battle. But again, your concerns were and remain to be legitimate. But it's like going fishing. I'm trying, you know what I'm saying? When we get worried about it, because I know we out resource battle machine. But I say what as many as you repeat yourself, people don't read as much as we would like for them to read. So we try to find innovative ways to end up, you know what I'm saying, the dropping political pills and applesauce. Not I in fact I referenced certain how many as you repeat them dealt with went back the piece he did on Sweetback's Badass Song. And the political dynamics that he was, you know what I'm saying, had, in fact, many party members, in fact, former chairman of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale, tomorrow, they had to go back and relook at it again, because a lot of things, sometimes things can slip in, and you can't, the ruling class might not catch. And in fact, I was talking about this other piece they had on the Rainbow Coalition. And I was talking to my mother comrade, Corey Jerry. And I was, so they tried, you know, that piece, they tried to slip in the usual, we see in the boxing arena, the Great White Hope. They tried to slip in. However, in the same breath, Chairman Fred was such a force, they would say certain things and say, well, after his assassination, this thing did not happen. This fell off. So there are certain things that to get the conversation going. Certain forces I don't feel comfortable. You know, say no, we don't run that horse in this race. But with this dynamic, this climate, this the time, and I'm even just, you mentioned the Malcolm X movie, even the blatant contradiction that was in the Godfather of Harlem, like Bobby Johnson, like just certain basic things, like, you know, Bobby Johnson and Malcolm, they didn't grow up together, and you know, and a lot of people who have done Christian Hollywood is not trying to tell the truth. I can say, well, they don't know they made a mistake. No, these are not mistakes. However, certain conversations now that have been happening in the conscious circles, and that now the people are talking about. You know, people of the lay are talking about this whole piece of, you know, who killed Malcolm X, and some of us say, this conversation been going on. However, sometimes that padding is necessary to preface a conversation that people can feel comfortable saying, let's talk about this. And you know what I'm saying? Because speaking of movies, Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. So even with a movie, there's people now who just even discussion. There are people who I told about this, me being on set, the struggles, you know, the actual battles we had. I had to be on the set. They really can grasp that. Now they're seeing interviews with certain actors. They're calling me and saying, man, did you know this? And it's a sad reality. It's like what David Walker said, David Walker's appeal. The most intelligent of African descent can say something, it becomes a doubt or suspicion. But a white person from any walk of life says something, taken as a fact. You know, and we've seen this with, you know, some different unauthorized books on Chairman Fred. You know what I'm saying? People call me, man, did you know this? I've been told you this. You know what I'm saying? But so it's certain dynamics that, if it was my choice, we can go out and call a rally call, people unite with it. But this is one of the tactics, even with the code of culture, where I deal with certain artists. People can understand how we did the Chief Keef song. I don't like. Like I said, why are you doing it? Why are you touching that Chairman Fred? We was able to tap into the minds and hearts of a lot of them young cats and take it and flip it. You know what I'm saying? To define that phenomenon. Because this whole dynamic about these movies now, in the black community, it's just a phenomenal discussion. And so to define that phenomenon, to define it. So we up front. We're not making no false assessments. You know what I'm saying? No dream. The history of Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Get on the countdown. The history of Hollywood, what its purpose is. We're coming in clear of that. You know what I'm saying? And moving. You know what I'm saying? Armed with the politics. And strapped with the legacy of Chairman Fred. And cut. You know what I'm saying? And cut no corners. And we're willing to cross some T's and dot them I's. Whether it be on a movie set, whether it be the street corner, whether it be the schoolhouse, so on and so forth. I want to finish the discussion, with your concerns legitimate, my brother, Professor J.R. Ball, live and direct with us. I want to follow up with you on this again. It's giving me a heads up. Got 2 minutes. Do we have that 7? As you said, I hope I did justice on that, my brother.
Oh, no question. I appreciate it. And we'll build more on that, going forward.
Yes, sir.
To wrap with you real quick. And thanks to you and your audience, man. And like your father said, peace if you're willing to fight for it. And I'll keep up with you, man.
Yes, sir, my brother. Love and respect. Professor Jared Ball. Give me another plug.
The Myth and Propaganda of Black Buying Power. People can check it out. Excerpts and more at imixwhatilike.org. imixwhatilike.org. And thanks again, my man.
Thank you, my brother. Y'all, stick with us. We're going to go outside. Do we have that youth online? What's the comrade, Daphne? King, 707 off the air code?
Come on, brother chairman. No, not as of yet.
Okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to step outside.
goes along as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me you still good? Okay, hold on. Let me see how we can get this give me 1 second. Let me text them, call in real quick. Okay, what's the brother's name? Is it Charles? Call the brother. Craig. Y'all bear with us. Okay, man. Call in, man. We just moved around, y'all. We still grooving and grooving. Okay, till we get out of the call in, I'm looking for this Reverend King, 10 years old. He done Chairman Fred Jr. for Black History Month. You know, I'm honored and humble. So until they call in, I think it's a 707 number. Free them all, y'all. Let me do a Reverend Shea roll call to all y'all who told him in with us. Any more calls in queue? So come around.
Free them all, Brother Chairman. No callers in queue. Caller, if you'd like to come in queue, please press 1. Free them all.
Free them all. Right on. We not on YouTube now. We still live on Facebook and also the blog talk. That was again, Professor Jared Ball. I really enjoyed and respect that exchange. His concerns are legitimate, you know what I'm saying? And I don't recommend watching a movie from Hollywood, let alone going along, being involved with a movie, you know what I'm saying? Unless without being armed with the politics. Again, it's a Machiavellian machine. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know who you man, it turn you inside out. We see it every day. You know what I'm saying? And again, I'm thankful for the legacies of the Black Panther Party. I study, you know what I'm saying, how Mr. C.E.P. Newton, how he dealt with certain, you know what I'm saying, the different dynamics, you know what I'm saying? His assessment of Sweet Best Badass song, his assessment of The Godfather, the movie, to be able to find that to relate that political analysis to the people, to take a phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? I mean, those who missed it, he did a phenomenal, Mr. UP did a phenomenal piece in regards to The Godfather. And from the naked eye, you may see it a certain way. But the politics, you know what I'm saying? And that's what any dynamic. We say be cautious. Be cautious when engaging with the gun for gun's sake. The Minister of Union said we won't even struggle to state the political significance of the gun. Forgive me, y'all. Okay. There you go. Okay, so we live and direct. I mean, this just to call in. Okay, we got. And let me know if there's anything else you want to, while we're in this call, is calling in. I'm going to understand we'll call that to everybody, you know what I'm saying, real quick. But let me know if you're saying anything I'm missing. I'm missing. There you go. Well, as soon as we're going to talk, we're going to talk about Free My Radio. Again, y'all, we are discussing 6-year-old child. And again, I'm refraining from saying sister because I know our people, including myself, we hear that term sister, brother. But just it's a connection. You know what I'm saying? That's what just even an adult, again, a 6-year-old child. You know what I'm saying? This is this was you know what I'm saying. This is This is the age and day of Trump. These are reactionary times. This is something that happens every day in our community. However, through different various agencies, the teachers who operate police. Even the Black Panther Party said, you know, saying the pigs. A lot of people just saying attempt to just see it just as that of the police, but the entire capitalist system, you know, the exploiters. You know what I'm saying, in fact, the Black Panther Party drew the correlation from the fascist pig cop, the demagogic politicians, the greedy avaricious businessmen. All of these, they drew the correlation with all these exploiters of our community. And we have to heighten the contradictions, you know what I'm saying, where the lines we draw, who are you with, the people of the state. And in doing times of conscious heightening, you have to keep your ear to the ground, because, you know what I'm saying, it's a cleansing process. With this revolution, it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. So you redefine. You see other. You have to be willing to see ugly realities. You have to be willing to reassess certain things. It's like your conventional definition that many of us attempt to hold on to, whether it be lines drawn on that's my family, or this is how men are, this is how women are. These dynamics, they cannot stand it. They cannot stand the storm of this system. In other words, these are the imperialists. They, you know, saying whether it be a Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton, recognize that their common interest. They, you know, what I'm saying, and dearly, our conditions are not set in a way that the state respects these different conventional definitions. In other words, like we've seen with women, Assata Shakur is placed in prison with men. You know, the sisters from Move, they're placed in prisons with men, and it's not because. Oh, I'm gonna stop it. Y'all bet with me. That's gonna be good with me. Okay, let me come right back to y'all. Be y'all a minute to him back in with us. Let me see if I can call. So, comrade, if you can't give me 2 minutes, I'm gonna call right back. I might call back through, mother comrade. Let me see if I can get this youth. Let me see if I can get this youngster in real quick. Let me call this family. Give me two seconds. Grandma.
Okay, grandma.
I wear a mean dark pair of shades, and you can't see my eyes unless my head is bent. You dig?
As I listen to these media motherfuckers verbally assassinating, incriminating, playing on locking the fuck away. Two young black babies snatched from their mother's arms just the other day. Page one's WGCL, should I say WCPD. Being that they are willing and able to sign, seal, and deliver my young bloods over to the IDOC. Babies, yeah, you heard correct. In fact, 7 8. Picked up, isolated, interrogated, shook down, threatened, charged with murder, and then to add insult to injury, even labeled with the crime of rape. All these Negroes and niggas is convicting them as a foregone conclusion. Based on what? Based on what? Based on what? Because the fucking pigs have accused them? Not the same pig department that framed and arrested Rolando Cruz. Not the same group of thugs that left Jeremiah Mayer they battered and bruised. Are we talking about the same agency that dropped two African babies, babies, man, off in the widely known racist neighborhood of Bridgeport, Chicago in 1988? Are you offended with the way I speak of your servants of injustice? Well, let me attempt to really seriously piss you off. In fact, take a seat, pick a number, and wait. Have you niggas gone insane? Have you niggas gone insane? Have you niggas gone insane? Have you lost your fucking minds? Have you forgotten December 4th, 1969? Area 1's Commander John Burge, the beatings, the torture, the electric shock. James Delaney, Aaron Patterson, the Wilson brothers, and the many other victims of the infamous Black Box. Not the same crew of criminals who trade guns for drugs and drugs for guns. Boom, boom. CHA police popped a young brother in the back, and news reports claim that he tried to run. If these ski masks, steel toe boot helicopter flying 4 a.m. in the morning raiding Gestapo's have somehow duped you into believing that they are suddenly interested in seeking justice for our children and for our communities, I recommend that you simply commit the offense of DWB. Be patient, nigga. Keep driving and you'll see. If you prefer to live and learn, I propose you strap up with your vest, for this is a school of hard shots and reality checks. And don't jive me with that few bad police theory. We are speaking on an occupied army, serve and protect shit. All I can remember is frameworks, kidnaps, murders, and misery. Turn our babies over to the enemy. No telling what they endure for those 4 hours of the third degree. I've seen this before, many times and many ways. From Atlanta, Georgia, to South Carolina, to Inglewood. Same program, only the names have changed. They're my babies, man, in every possible way. Speaking of which, Alderman Ed Burke will be meeting back Baby T, and we mean today. In Decatur, Illinois, you kidnapped my unique dream. Stole her from her people, robbed her from her family, abducted from her setting, and embezzled her from her natural scene. No other people would allow these crimes. Don't give me that child predator mumbo jumbo. Call it for what it is, uncut, upfront, old-fashioned American-style genocide. They're my babies, man. Mark my words over and over again and again. We must defend and protect them. Hold them up, stop the car, get your hands on my child, for we'll handle the discipline. Whether it be your brutal police force or your perverted preachers, your fucked up foster care, your brainwashing ass teachers. No more, no more, enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of this shit. You struck a nerve, motherfucker. We coming for SARS and moving in our baby's defense.
Live and direct, Brother Jimmy. Live and direct. Okay, y'all. We still rolling. We're not on YouTube live right now, but that's posted. We still we at 929-477-3785. Then press 1 to be heard. We also live on Facebook. See, y'all share this, repost this. We talking about a number of different things. We're talking about a 6-year-old child. I reiterate, the 6-year-old child handcuffed and locked up, fingerprinted, booked. 6-year-old child, and again, this is the modus operandi how the system gets down on our people, and that those, you know, I mean, you know, people say, well, what does she do? You know, so this is one of the advantages the other communities who are under attack have is this, you know, that it's not this internalizing the crime, you know, saying criminalizing the community, like you, I mean, I don't recall. A discussion being held, like, you know, doing what was like the Nuremberg trials that talked about the victims in Nazi Germany, gas chambers in Dachau and Auschwitz, so on and so forth. I don't recall a question being brought up. What did this person do? What, you know, saying, what did they do? You know, saying that, you know, and being the contradictions, as Minister UEP News said, the contradictions are the ruling principle of the universe. I'm sure there was some. There were some people in there of ill will. You know, so who you may say, well, this person does some bad thing. But that question never comes up in regards to the gas chamber, you know what I'm saying, of entire people being swept up and, you know, forced into ghettos, of entire people, being lined up, you know what I'm saying, to be gunned down, propaganda being placed out, you know what I'm saying, taking those who have, you know, mental health issues. The insult is, I mean, just imagine if that was even be brought up, question, like, what did this person do? And, you know, you see it on social media. I mean, people, you know, asking questions, what does she do? Again, 6-year-old child. So we have to heighten these contradictions, and this is necessary, as I was saying earlier. It's like throwing up. You have to be willing to take the smell. You have to be willing to see certain things that certain people have eaten. You're like, whoa, I didn't know that was in you. And I tell them, you say, oh, I don't want to. This has to happen. And you know, there are certain things, there are certain imminence that create that for that conversation to happen. You know what I'm saying? And we have to struggle to heighten these contradictions. And not because a lot of times, you know, in many cases, people are walking around with they may be dormant. These type of they have carried on since they were in the maternity ward. It may be anything from, you know, the first contact they came with, you know what I'm saying, to black people's messed up, generational pain. I mean, this is actual clinical. Clinical assessments talking about how for three generations, you pass pain down. You meet some women, how you hate black men? You meet some guys, what's your issue with black women? And they be like, they don't know. It's been passed down. It's certain dynamics that just so once it's great. Like, you, I mean, we could debate about, you know, evolution or your walk of life, but it's not debatable that there's certain dynamics that can be passed that innately, not doing conscientiously, passed down. So it's a dynamic in the disdain, you know what I'm saying? And not to even mention that even the disdain for our community, for our people, is reinforced. It's reinforced. It's some, if you wave it up the thing, you happen to get like you have to get out of pocket and you say something so somehow to the little white girl and you say, what is she, before you finish it, it's not a climb, it's not a politic that make you feel comfortable acting certain dynamic. You'll feel out of place, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't jive. Before, when the handcuffs are being placed on this child from another community, the teacher not, you know, they're not feeling comfortable. Someone's going to jingle like, whoa, this is out of order. You know what I'm saying? Before the dispatch, we have the fingerprinting. So it's not just one police that was terminated. It's the politic of it, the process of it. So that, you know what I'm saying? It's reinforced. It's politically, quote unquote, correct to move on our community as we do. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying? Cash is take it, you know? And like, you come riding down the street, riding down south side of Chicago, you riding on top of an ostrich. And somewhere, it's going to dawn, hold on, man. You know what I'm saying? Whether you bump into some cats on the streets hustling, or the person working Wendy's drive through, you're going to go, you're going to get so far before, you know, so you're going to feel weird. You know what I'm saying? The police, when they give you a tick, you know what I'm saying? It's something that, but if you, you know what I'm saying, to come through 6-year-old child being handcuffed, you know what I'm saying? The amount of our people being murdered, gunned down in the streets, it's common to us. If they told you tomorrow, just take those numbers of the black children being gunned down. Take the, you know what I'm saying, the sister on 79th and Avalon, locked her daughter murdered, the mother locked up. She said she won't see her. She said, my daughter inside the store won't see my daughter. Hey, she locked up. You know what I'm saying? Then you say, well, we got to see about our children. You trying to see about your baby. Any other, you make an exception. Oh, man, the mother's, you see TV shows, and, hey, man, yellow tape around, that's my baby. Oh, hold on, man. The lieutenant, let her come through, man. We work it out, console her. Their response to our community is lock them up. Lock them up. We live and direct, y'all, on Freedom All Radio, also Intellectual Radio now, 294-777-3785. Much respect, man.
We have your caller on the line, 770-873.
I believe you're right. Yes. Welcome to Freedom All Radio. Welcome to Freedom All Radio. Who we have online with us?
Thank you. This is Craig Porter. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, this is Craig Porter, coming from Atlanta, Georgia. Just chimed in just a second ago and was listening to what you were saying, and I totally agree. What I want to add to it is like, as a people, we've been conditioned by those such behaviors for so long that it's been normalized for us. A lot of us, and I come from Chicago, and a lot of us, you know, mm-hmm. we suffer from the traumatic effects of seeing our parents get handled, and which in turn trained us on how to react and how to be and be complacent. And when you're a young male and you see yourself not really having a future ahead of you, all that stress, it builds up, and it has to come out in another way. And in my generation, we chose a wrong route to handle those emotions and those things, because we had nobody before us to tell us or to show us, you know, who we are. Nowadays, the younger generation now, they have no clue of what a struggle is. They don't know. They don't understand any of that, and they don't, you know, the struggle is where we learn who we are, and we learned our place amongst each other as well as in the world. nowadays these kids don't have no filter for that, because the history has been washed away from slavery and police brutality has been washed. I mean, they seeing police brutality now, but in the eyes of my son, he's looking at it as this is all new. This is not, you know,
yes,
normal. And I could see the way the social conditioning, even in the schools, they kind of like going to wipe that part of history out away from us, and which is going to leave us with the docile and timid like effects of our people. You know, we watch our people get beat and killed, and all we want to do is put on a camera and watch it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I was, you know, so this year for Black History is what I want to tie it to. This year for Black History, they asked my son in school, asked his son, hey, do a report on your favorite Black hero. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to go to somebody that's been, you know, that's deceased, that's not around. Somebody that you would have to go to a book to get a account for, you know, what they stood for. And that's something somebody else is telling you. Why not go to somebody that's alive that living led, such as yourself, and get the true facts and information? You know, that's something that's better than gold. Hearing it right from the horse's mouth, not reading in a book what they want you to understand, because they understand that we're in a condition now where the information in our struggle is being whitewashed. It's being washed out. It's being eradicated as if, you know, it never existed. And, you know, with all the social equalities that they pumping on our children, especially our young Black boys, you know, the fight for their masculinity is real. You know, and I don't know if any women is hearing this, but, you know, hold on to your boys and really pay attention to what's going on around them, because, you know, the natural order of things is not what we're dealing with right now. We living in a fantasy world. It's not reality. Once upon a time, they say art dictated reality. When you look at early hip hop and you look at graffiti on the train, that was an expression of what we went through as a people. You know, and nowadays the art that we seeing is not the same. It's not an adaptation of this reality. It's not. You know. I was talking to my wife the other day, and I was telling her if you went to a time capsule and you looked at and picked out some of the things that was going on in the 70s, say it was a time capsule buried in the 70s, we dug it up right now, the items in there would definitely replicate what was going on in the 70s with our people. You do the same thing now in 2020, you dig it up in 2040, you'll be lost. Because the art is not supporting the reality that we're seeing right now.
Nice.
So, you know, that's
right
my
on.
My chime in, and, you know, I just wanted to add on and then let you know that we really appreciate you, Chairman, for being a living legend and being around and being accessible, especially to the youth. And when my son went to school with the shirt on, it really got kids asking questions. They really did. They really did, and he was able to tell them, you know. So now you got a generation of kids with the seed planted already, because that's all it takes is a seed. That's it. They just need to know they got somewhere to go to get, you know, to get the real information and know what's really going on. You know. So
let me say right on, revolutionary appreciations, brother. You. Wife, your son, you know what I'm saying? Just and I just touch on some of the things you brought out. You laid out so many points. Again, I'm honored and humbled that your son recognized. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying in a subjective type of way, but the deal is, like, as you pointed out, like, a lot of times we are told to talk about not only people who are not here, but it's certain individuals that we're told to speak about, and you know what I'm saying, and it's I draw a correlation with the interviewer for Weedy Cereal one time, and the way that they did it, the person for the interview said, why would you put Muhammad Ali on Weedy Cereal box? Now, why you didn't do it before? And the representative of Weedy Cereal actually said, well, he's safe now. We can talk about it now. And the other, they take, they gut us. It's like a, they take certain, it's like you know, like they gut us. They sanitize it, you know. And again, I'm saying this as objective as I can. We have forces that are just right here. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, to lay it out, it really is reflective that again, the system does not. They do not want us to know. And like many of us in our communities are, you know, are political orphans. And they say, like, horse trainers say one of the worst thing with an orphan horse is that he or she cannot even understand how to walk, how to trot, because they, you know, say they've been deprived of that horse before them. And we say with us, the Black Panther Party Club, we like to serve hot meals, literally, figuratively, and politically. White, you know what I'm saying? White one is there, so, you know, cats can relate to it. And, you know, just that time capsule of knowledge you did is on point. You know, that as you say, I mean, you can look at certain, you can listen to certain music, and you can, I mean, even they say, you know, when Isley Brothers songs was out, they talking about, you know, how many children were being conceived. It reflects the time. You can listen, like, it's certain music, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I was saying something the other day with Rakim, you know what I'm saying? Follow the leader. Now, automatically, you know, what was going on in the community, you know what I'm saying? And again, yep. It's not by happenstance. It's not by happenstance how the detachment, you know what I'm saying? The whole detachment, the reality, I'm talking about, from Pop Smoke, you name it, these artists, I'm talking about, that are being gunned down every day, all day. You know what I'm saying? But all these children are getting is this fictional, you know what I'm saying, these lies, you know what I'm saying? They're getting into Shockey 6ix9ine, like, right. He's banging. And this cat was put into our community, you know what I'm saying? It's not even an embellishment, you know what I'm saying? It's straight out lies, it's straight out fraud, you know what I'm saying? And even I told to some youngsters, I said, who are you listening to now? And they're saying, and I said, where they from? They're like, I don't know. There was some accountability with us. We had to know where you came from. You were, like, it was a background check, you know? And this day and age, it's strategic, you know what I'm saying? That we getting, you know what I'm saying? They give it, we don't even know. I mean, these can be straight up, you know, like, really, our community is being really a mass scale. Our communities are being catfished. You know what I'm saying? Like that TV show Catfish, you go see the girl, you go see the guy, you're like, yeah. Whoa, I thought this was such and such. They catfishing our whole community. You know what I'm saying? They giving, I won't be surprised. I say probably Tashaki 6ix9ine, the rest of them guys probably couldn't do no outside concerts, because if it happened to rain or something, the makeup they call tattoos on their face might come off their face. You know what I'm saying? But the repercussions for that, the fallout, the trickle down impact is, it's these youngsters believing in this here, believing in this fraud. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, could you imagine the toll? How many cats locked up that was chasing it to Shockey 6ix9ine? You know what I'm saying? Dynamic. You know what I'm saying? And I commend the cats in contradictions and all. And Chirac, they held them cats accountable. He knew when to pull up. He had to get the police escort, so on and so forth. And the deal is, this is a day and age where, you know, I was watching this movie about, I think it was No Mas, I think, about Roberto Duran. And Robert De Niro was playing the trainer, and he asked him a question about the advancement of box fights being televised. And he said something to the effect like, man, the pros and cons of that. He says, opposed to the actual brawling, you have, he's talking about the setback with the TV is, you know, saying, you know, they you know, it's like a show. Wow. I say, now, this, we dealing with this like it's on steroids now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the social media, you know, cats have no frame of reference, you know what I'm saying, of reality. I mean, you got youngsters that, I mean, these video games and so on and so forth. I got 4,000 friends, and they never even met. And we'll never meet. So, I'll just commend you. You know what I'm saying? Again, I it rubs people the wrong way to talk about these relevant subjects, you know what I'm saying? Cause these relevant subjects and situations and what's going on right now today. And I'm, you know what I'm saying? And the points that you raised, that you laid out, you know what I'm saying? And I'll be trying to strategic in And even certain subjects that are necessary, subjects that we address. I mean, a lot of times we look at these contradictions so subjective. You know what I'm saying? With the emasculation. You know, and our community has been so politically deprived that it's. We automatically go to the subject. A lot of people are coming to the subjective, like, you know, automatically going to the sexuality question or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, negating the political dynamics. We look at such dynamics as sex in a reactionary way. You know what I'm saying? Wrong. The system. You see the political significance of it. You know what I'm saying? And and I struggle, like, even I tell, you know, even in organizing, I refuse to let certain conversations, you know, saying, be placed in the mud. I tell you, you have to heighten the contradiction. You know, so you got to come with heighten the contradictions. You know, saying to be have you know, these discussions we have to have. You know, saying in the not in a subjective way, because this is war. This is war, and you know, saying, even the dynamics. So you look at back to the time capsule knowledge you just laid out. In certain comedians, you can go back and take them. I think about their jokes that they were talking about, like, in the white community, black community, how they would say, you be in a store and the black children, you know what I'm saying? You know how the question the back and forth with mama, you know what I'm saying? Or the daddy, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? And they would make jokes about, like, you know, because comedy, like, who said this? Some comedian said, comedy and something else, it gives you more leeway as opposed to what I'm saying politically. But they said, like, the white community, they like, well, wait a minute, Becky, what did you say? And the children can, you know what I'm saying, can dictate, you know what I'm saying, say, oh, I said that this is, you know, I'm not doing this. They acting fool in the store. It was funny. They was cracking, but they were facking. Look at the discussion. I'm just watching discussions now where people, I mean, adults are saying, my child told me at 3 years old, I'm hesitant to go into discussion because a lot of us are not even prepared. But the deal is, whether we prepared or not, on some level, this is what's happening in our community where they have, you know, and it's not because that we just changed. People say, well, my grandmother was different. No, policies have been put in place. You know what I'm saying? And it's a climate, a political climate. Well, you know what I'm saying? Where a lot of us get it twisted because the child may know more about technology, whatever. They know more than us. Man. The script is flipped, and our communities are confused on every dynamic. You know, so it's confused. It's chaos. That's one of America's policies is to create chaos and then restore order. You know what I'm saying? You hear the conversation that my child told me is dictating. And but really, at some point, it's the rubber meets the road. At some point, when you know what I'm saying, when the police are taking these children in, you know what I'm saying, saying, no, you can't contact your mother, so on and so forth. At some point, you know what I'm saying, our community comes to grips with, we can't flip back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm a child now, I'm being an adult now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even by clinical assessments, the brain develops at a certain age. You know what I'm saying? There's certain dynamics, you know what I'm saying, that we go through experiences and learn, you know, but this system, it plays with us. It patronizes us. You know what I'm saying? It puts stuff that they know we don't even have the ability to afford it. They have those certain drugs out there, they romanticize, and they went into it. We might get a sample of it. However, then after that, quick fix. We got to have it now. We don't have the pharmaceutical entities in our community. So that ecstasy pill, that knockoff ecstasy pill, you know what I'm saying? The mollies, you know what I'm saying? That knockoff that has to do for us, you know what I'm saying? So we try to ride along with the ruling class, but again, that question, the reality check comes down. We have to suffice. At some point with these children, you know what I'm saying, the children are told, you can say what you want to say, do what you want to do. Then when these police come grab them, kidnap, you can look at a lot of these children's faces and see the shock. You can see the shock. Then wait a minute. And that's the lines of demarcation that you draw between the state of people. I know I kind of went in, but you just, man, the spirit is still sharp and steel, and men and women sharp and men and women. You touch on so many points. I want to again, is King around? Is he around?
He's asleep right now. He's knocked out.
Okay,
you know, he got in the morning.
I know he had a long day, he had some phenomenal questions for me yesterday. I'm still on charge. I'm still on charge. You know what I'm saying? So what was okay? The event at school today. You said the other children. Could you give us an insight what happened today at school with the program?
Well, pretty much. What it was they were supposed to wear a T-shirt or dress like their favorite black hero, and so they give us the assignment. What was it? A day before, so we didn't have time to go get the necessary apparel. So what we did was we got them with the information. You know what I mean? And we wanted to put the information in a way you would assimilate it, because he wanted to do his report on you, and not on somebody he couldn't talk to or touch or reach out to and get the real information from. So, you know, his aspect was more so along them lines. And so what he did was he wore a shirt to school. I don't know if you saw it, but it had your name on it. It had your date of birth.
I did.
A couple facts about you. A lot of your sayings, power to the people, right on, you know. And so people, you know, the kids started
right
asking. They said, you know, who is he? And he was able to explain, like, he's still alive, and you know he talked about a little bit about, you know, what happened to you before you were born, as far as with the police and your father and your mom. So he touched on that a little bit, and just bring the awareness to the kids, and let them know that, you know, there's people out here that are for us, you know.
Yes.
No matter what it seems, and to spread the information, let them know that they need to know who they are, and when they place in this planet. And who they need to strive to be, because they don't have no course, they don't have no bearings, no foundation on where they settle, then they're going to be wrestling with them all their life. It's like a person that's trying to do so good and don't know why he studied being rejected.
Yes.
So
thank you. Thank y'all again to the camp. I'm sending this live. It's a different feeling that you get when you know somebody is fighting you. I spoke to some brothers and sisters today at the reentry program. They did a lot of class. In other words, the psychological war situation. And before I was in the one that they